You are listening to the music of the Moody Blues on this Tuesday afternoon. We're playing it for good reason. 30 years ago, there was a historic concert at the Fargo Dome as the Moody Blues were performing with the Fargo Moorhead Symphony. It was the first time the Moody Blues ever played in Fargo and the first time the Fargo Moorhead Symphony ever played with a rock group. I wrote a story about this for the Fargo Forum that was published about 2 weeks ago. I was also at that concert, and it was fantastic. Our next two guests were also at that concert, and they join us now. Linda Boyd was executive director of the FM Symphony then, and she joins us over the phone now. Linda, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jim.
And in studio is Jane Lindy Capistran, who played the violin during that concert. Jane, welcome.
Thank you so much, and hello to Linda, too.
Hi, Jane.
Linda, let's start with you. How did this concert come about?
It dropped into our laps. I wish I could claim credit for reaching out, but no, it was one of those things where... I think the Moody Blues were the first big rock group to stumble upon the idea of touring across the country and playing with local orchestras. I think before then, there had been times, certainly in the UK and I think in big cities, that a few rock groups here and there had done standalone shows with orchestras. But to my knowledge, this was the first time a group, and, you know, their music itself was really based on, you know, combining the genres of classical music and orchestral music with rock music. You know, I grew up in the 70s, and I wore out that album in my bedroom when I was in high school. So, I mean, it was kind of almost like it felt like it was meant to be. So they decided to do this pretty exhaustive tour. I mean, if they managed to go through Fargo, they hit a lot of cities in the heartland, and they had the idea of lining up with local orchestras, sending the music ahead a few days ahead of time, and it was incredibly successful. And for the Fargo Moorhead Symphony, it planted the seeds of, oh, so many things, you know, people that weren't aware of the symphony orchestra before that day and things that followed after that.
All right. And we'll get to that a little later in the interview. Jane, what was your reaction when you found out you and your fellow members of the symphony were going to play with the Moody Blues?
Well, I would say the majority of the musicians were super thrilled. Perhaps some of the older musicians, because just remember, I was 30 years younger then. And so maybe the people that are my age now were maybe a little skeptical, but it turned out to be just really an exciting event. So we were all really excited to be a part of this production.
Are you a Moody Blues fan? Were you familiar with the music?
Just like Linda, I had their albums back, you know, in the 70s and have favorite tunes, always had favorite tunes. And we have even played them at some of our, you know, concerts since then, so... It's been really great to have that repertoire.
So before we talk about the rehearsals and the actual concert, Linda, tell us what you had to do after you received that phone call from the representatives of the Moody Blues to get this thing going.
Right, right. Well, they had actually already booked the gig with the Fargo Dome. And so if I recall, I mean, it's it's a little fuzzy now, and there have been, you know, in recent years, other groups that have come through and we've contracted with them. So, you know, I might not remember this exactly, but, you know, the contract was already in place, exactly how many musicians they needed, you know, when they were going to show up, how the rehearsal was going to work. I mean, it was all laid out in black and white. And I can't remember if it came through the Fargo Dome or through the Moody Blues Management Company. But basically on our end, I mean, essentially, we signed the contract, lined up the musicians, the music arrived a few days previously, musicians came and picked it up, and, you know, boom, it was rolling. It was not a lot of work on my end.
Jane, what was the rehearsal like for you guys?
Well, I'm trying to recall because we were up on a little higher staging area. I do remember two plexiglasses because they had two drum sets that were sort of protecting the orchestra. And they were a little bit then lower than us, in front of us. I have a feeling that there was a track that not all the band members were there for the entire rehearsal at all. The rhythm section, drummer, bass player may have been there for some of that, but that's a little fuzzy in my memory too. But the conductor brought us through, and we might have been playing, you know, a lot of the songs with the track at that point until the band joined us in person that night. And it was just really fun, you know, to go through all this repertoire and hear it. And I remember the conductor being very gracious and very cordial about our rehearsal time, too.
So now let's fast forward to the concert itself. When the concert was underway, Jane, and you were playing your violin with the Moody Blues, what were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking this is rock and roll, you know. It was just like, it was partly sort of starstruck, you know, here's this band that I knew of for many years, and then just wanting to play really well for them. And having a great audience out there was also very exciting.
Largest audience you ever played for, well, like 11, 12,000.
Yeah, it was great.
Was it fun?
Oh, it was very fun. And I don't think we felt too nervous. I mean, we wanted to do well, but, you know, the rehearsal really kind of showed us the ropes of what was going to happen, and it all fell into place. So.
And the rehearsal was earlier that day.
Yes,
correct?
It was the same day.
It was on Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
back to that song again. Linda, what was your reaction when you were listening to the concert and watching the concert?
So I'm going to confess right now, I wasn't at the concert.
What?
No. It was, first of all, my life was pretty intense at that point. Had an infant, had a kindergartner, had a crazy life. And I, except for the Ray Charles rehearsal and concert, I was not present for any of the big Fargo Dome shows.
So you didn't make you didn't make the second Moody Blues Fargo-Moorhead Symphony concert either.
No. I mean, you know, I think it points to what goes into making that experience for the audience. You know, there's the administrative side to kind of, you know, make the nuts and bolts come together. There's the rehearsal side, getting the musicians together and the nuts and bolts of how that happens. And then there's the magic of performance. You know, looking back, I don't think I could have afforded the ticket, frankly, and there weren't comps offered to us. You know, my work was done.
Okay.
And you know, I had a mom who was kind of in the process of passing away at the time, had an infant. It was a rough time. And so that was kind of the last thing on my mind. It's like, hope it goes well.
We need to take a break now, but we have a lot more to talk about this great concert. So hang with us, folks. More with Linda Boyd and Jane Lindy Capistran right after this short message. We're playing this song just for you, Jane.
Thank you.
When I interviewed you for the newspaper article, you told me this was your favorite song to play at the concert.
Yes.
So was it extra special to play that song because it meant so much to you? I'm talking to Jane Lindy Capistran with the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony about the Moody Blues concert 30 years ago.
Yeah, I have always loved that tune. And, you know, I think I mentioned this to you, maybe too much information, but my husband passed away almost 4 years ago now. And so that tune just reminds me of my husband, Rod. So it's one of my faves.
I only met him once, but very nice man.
Yeah.
Very, very nice man. Linda, let's get back to you. Even though you were not in attendance, you were certainly looking very closely at this concert from the administrative standpoint. Was that concert 30 years ago, Moody Blues with the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony, was it what you hoped for?
It was beyond. I mean, over the years, you know, I can't count the number of people, especially in the, you know, at that time and in the years closely following, that said, oh, I didn't know we had a symphony orchestra in town. And, you know, it almost it always makes you want to do a head slap, but it's true. I mean, I know there are a lot of things going on in our community that I'm not aware of because I'm not in that world. You know, if some sort of crazy national monster truck thing came to town, I wouldn't know about it, but it might be a big deal. You know, it's just a different genre of entertainment. So what that concert did to put the Fargo Moorhead Symphony in the forefront of mainstream entertainment paid dividends for years and decades to come. I mean, that really allowed us to enter the realm of, hey, we're family entertainment. You might want to check us out. It opened the door to other collaborations. And then, of course, our own amazing collaboration with Post-Traumatic Funk Syndrome for the last 12 years and our annual Symphony Rocks concert, which wouldn't have been possible until the right spacious venue was created, which was Bluestem, because there's really not an indoor venue that works for that kind of a show. So many doors opened because of that first collaboration.
Yeah, and I'm going to get there as we finish the interview a little later. By the way, I have to tell our audience that I interviewed the Moody Blues twice, and they were great. They were so friendly, so articulate, so gracious. I think it's fair to
so
say.
So British.
So British. I think it's fair to say they were more than just singers in a rock and roll band. Yeah. Yeah, you have to be a Moody Blues fan to appreciate that line. All right, The concert in 94 was so successful that y'all did it again in 1997 at the Fargo Dome. Moody Blues again with the Fargo Moorhead Symphony. Jane, I want to get your recollection of that. We've got about 1 minute for a break, but we can always come back to it. So tell us your memories of the 97 concert.
Well, again, it was a fabulous experience, but I have one incident that happened. It was a different conductor that was conducting. You know, they bring their own conductor along. And he pulled me out at the little intermission time to be a witness because he was going to scold somebody in the orchestra that he didn't think was following along or paying attention or coming into cues or something. So I had to be the witness of this little reprimand, and he probably did that as a safeguard. But that's one thing I remember from that concert. So you maybe didn't know that, Linda.
I did not
so
know that story.
Were you a little Love apprehensive that. Going into this concert because of what you had just witnessed? You get 20 seconds to answer.
Well, no, we carried on, you know. We were there to do a good job, and we did then, so.
You absolutely did. We got to take a break now. We'll be back in a few minutes to talk more about the historic concerts, the Moody Blues, and the Fargo Moorhead Symphony right after this. Welcome back to Afternoons Live. Jim Shaw, your guest host, till 5 p.m. We're talking about the great Moody Blues concerts with the Fargo Moorhead Symphony in 1994 and 1997. We have with us over the phone Linda Boyd, former executive director of the symphony, and Jane Lindy Capistran, who still plays in the symphony and played in both of those concerts as a violinist. Jane, we talked about the 94 concert. What about the 97 concert? You told us about the guest conductor, but what else do you remember about that 97 concert?
Well, it was great. Of course, we played a lot of the same repertoire. Again, a huge crowd, and similar thing that we had a rehearsal the same day of the show that night. So it really operated kind of the same way. But once again, just a great feeling to, you know, collaborate with this band.
The Moody Blues, though, they asked you to take a bow.
Oh, yes. And they did in 94, too. So they had, and they were very gracious, you know, welcomed the Fargo Moorhead Symphony. We got to take a bow. It was great because they recognized us, as I'm sure they do with all the orchestras they play with. But
Linda, how much did the Moody Blues concerts lead to the great Symphony Rocks concerts that you mentioned earlier that we have every summer at Bluestem?
Well, I think certainly the driving force behind those concerts is Russ Peterson. He came up with the idea of doing a similar show and volunteered to do the arrangements, because those shows aren't possible without really detailed arrangements. So if you think of an orchestra or a band on stage and everyone's reading their music, I mean, there's a big score, and everybody has their own part, and somebody has to write those. I mean, the orchestra musicians are not winging it. They're not improvising. They're reading music. And so creating those arrangements is a huge undertaking. But Russ had a vision, and I was my first stint as executive director with the symphony was from 93 to 96. And when I came back in 2007 as executive director, he was waiting to pounce. And he really wanted to do a show. And at the time, really the only venue that we could possibly squeeze onto and make it work, and it didn't really work, but it was back when the Avalon was the venue. You know, it was like a more of a rock venue and had a big stage. And we had just concert-style chairs set up, and it was a real squeeze. And it was a real gamble, you know, but we did the first Symphony Rocks on that stage, had a great response, but really, logistically, it didn't work. But that was roughly the same time that the Blue Stem Outdoor Amphitheater was getting underway. So once that venue was finished, we realized here's a stage that's large enough to fit a symphony orchestra and a 12-piece funk band and all the gear that goes into making that possible and the lighting and the sound and so forth, and an audience that can accommodate more than 2,500, because, you know, you think of our normal concert home, NDSU Festival Concert Hall, seats 997, and the stage barely fits the orchestra. So it wasn't until Blue Stem came into being that we could really just dig into that kind of performance. And so we started it, and again, kudos to Russ for doing the lion's share of the arranging. There's a few other orchestra musicians that do a few, but he tends to do 90% of them, mm-hmm. and still going strong.
Good.
And Jane, of course, is the conductor of
those.
I
was just going there. Jane does a fabulous job as the conductor of these summer concerts at Blue Stem Symphony Rocks. If you've never been there, put it on your bucket list, because they are fantastic. And we have breaking news. Jane has information about this summer's Symphony Rocks concert. So, Jane, what can you tell us?
Yes, well, put August 15th, it's a Thursday evening, on your calendar. We'll be at Blue Stem that evening. And Russ and I have already had a preliminary meeting about this year, our title, Iconic Rock. And so we really want to feature a lot of, you know, great rock tunes. Plus, one of the missions is maybe to even feature the symphony orchestra a little bit more at the top of the concert and somewhere in the middle of the concert. So we're really looking forward to doing that. And one of the iconic tunes could be Nights in White Satin, Moody Blues.
Oh, really?
it's cool. On our list. We haven't made the final cut yet. But
How ironic.
Well, and Jim, I will say I've never missed one of those. I mean, from the very first one, that's a trapeze act of a gig. I mean, there are so many moving parts and things that could go wrong. So I'm usually, you know, pacing nervously, you know, for days on end, and certainly at the gig. So I've never missed a one of those.
I've seen you there. I won't bring up the explosives, but
dear.
Thank you so much.
But they're always great, great shows. So our last guest in the last hour was Maury Lanning, longtime mayor of Moorhead, and longtime state representative from Moorhead. And I told him what we were doing next, which was remembering the Moody Blues Fargo Moorhead Symphony Concert. And he said, oh, I was there. That was a great concert. When I wrote when I wrote the story and then put it on my Facebook page, I got a lot of people saying, hey, I was there. Great concert. Best concert I ever went to. Now, Linda, here we are 30 years later from the first concert. Do you still hear from people who tell you they were at that concert?
You know, it has kind of thinned out over the years, but every once in a while, absolutely. I mean, that concert was such a landmark in our community and had such an impact. It's hard to underestimate the lasting value that one gig had. It was tremendous.
Jane, what about you? I understand you heard from your 94-year-old aunt.
I did. My husband's aunt, Aunt Dorothy, called me after the day after the article was in the paper, and she goes, I read the article. I was at that concert, and she was so excited. And then I sent the article to both my children, Madeline and Stuart, and Madeline said, that was my first rock concert, Mom. And Stuart, who probably was only four, could have been there. He wasn't sure. But, yeah, so Madeline was eight at the time. So, yeah, she remembers it well. And I had my brothers came up from the cities, and they remember it. So it was quite an event.
Well, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, because so many of us do things, and then 5 minutes later, it's like, what did I do? Or certainly a year later, did I go to that? Or they were in town? So it's nice that this was so memorable. Well, this has been so much fun going down memory lane and talking about this great, great concert, which actually we had two of, not to mention others where they came without the symphony. I really enjoyed talking to you. So Linda Boyd and Jane Lindy Capistran, thank you so, so much for being with us. And I can't wait for this summer's Symphony Rocks concerts.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Jim. It's been great.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you both. And we'll be back to wrap up Afternoons Live right after this.